What do Billy Graham, G. Campbell Morgan, and John the Baptist have in common? Well, they were all mighty men of God who went through a period of intense doubt. Back in 1949, just as he was about to become a world-renowned preacher, Billy Graham was wrestling with doubts over whether he could totally trust what his Bible was telling him. In his autobiography, Graham said that he felt as if he were being stretched on a rack. Pulling him toward God was Henrietta Mears, the bright and compassionate Christian educator who had a thorough understanding of modern scholarship and an abounding confidence in the reliability of scriptures. Yanking him the other way was Graham's close companion and preaching colleague, 33-year-old Charles Templeton. "Billy, you're 50 years out of date," Templeton argued. "People no longer accept the Bible as being inspired the way you do. Your faith is too simple." Templeton seemed to be winning the tug of war. If I was not exactly doubtful, Graham would recall, "I was certainly disturbed." He knew that if he could not trust the Bible, he could not go on. The Los Angeles Crusade, the event that would open the door to Graham's worldwide ministry, was hanging in the balance. Graham searched the scriptures for answers. He prayed. He pondered. Finally, in a heavy-hearted walk in the moonlit San Bernardino Mountains, everything came to a climax. Gripping a Bible, Graham dropped to his knees and confessed he couldn't answer some of the philosophical and psychological questions that Templeton and others were raising. "I was trying to be on the level with God, but something remained unspoken," he wrote. "At last, the Holy Spirit freed me to say it. Father, I am going to accept this as thy word by faith. I'm going to allow faith to go beyond my intellectual questions and doubts, and I will believe this to be your inspired word." Now, having heard this story, you might want to stand up and cheer for Graham. But let me ask you, is this the kind of faith that God wants? A blind, leap-in-the-dark kind of faith? I dare say that it's not. In fact, when John the Baptist began to experience doubt about Jesus, it's rather telling that Jesus didn't respond by saying, "Just have faith, John. Just have faith." No, he called John to action. Let me show you what I mean. If you haven't done so already, please open your Bible to Luke chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 18 to 23 this morning. And if you're using one of the Bibles from the pew rack in front of you, you'll be able to find our text beginning at the bottom of page 863. Luke chapter 7, verses 18 to 23. There we read this. "The disciples of John reported all these things to him. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another?' And when the men had come to him, they said, 'John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another?' In that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, 'Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me.'" That last line, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me," is a beatitude that Jesus derived from Isaiah 8, verses 14 and 15. a well-known messianic text that reads, "And he, the Messiah, will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken." But as Jesus says, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As it was, John was offended by Jesus. As John languished in prison, in the dungeon at Mercaeus, he became increasingly perplexed by the reports he heard of Jesus' ministry, because they didn't jibe with the twofold prophecy he had preached about what Jesus would do. On the one hand, Jesus' marvelous miracles fit well with John's prophecy regarding the great work of the Holy Spirit. But in regard to his prophecy of judgment, that Jesus would burn the chaff with unquenchable fire, nothing had happened. The Romans were still in firm control. Their lackeys, including Herod and Herodias, were living in comfort. The religious establishment was just as arrogant and self-righteous as ever. And John, sitting in prison, was getting no help from Jesus as far as he could see. He was disappointed. He was puzzled. He was offended that Jesus wasn't living up to the billing he had provided him. And so he sent messengers to Jesus asking him, "Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another? Jesus, you're raising doubts in my mind. Are you really the one I made you out to be, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? Or is the Messiah still yet to come?" Now, lest John remain filled with doubts and offended by Jesus, Jesus responds in that hour by healing many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And then he charges John's messengers to return to John and tell him what they have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. This message that John will receive is intended to get the prophet thinking. In particular, Jesus wants John to think about two things. Two things that you would do well to think about too the next time you find yourself doubting whether or not Jesus is who he claimed to be. First, Jesus wants John to think about what his healing ministry is meant to signify. And second, Jesus wants John to think about how his healing ministry fulfills certain Old Testament prophecies. Let us think then first about what Jesus' healing ministry is meant to signify. In the very hour that Jesus heard of John's doubts, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. As Tabidi Anyabwile says, Jesus seems to perform the many miracles in verse 21 in order to send back concrete evidence for John's doubt in verse 22. He says, "Go and report to John what you have seen and heard." These miracles, Anyabwile continues, signify that Jesus is the Messiah and that the kingdom of God is coming into the world. How do they do this, you ask? Well, think about what it takes to restore sight to the blind, to cast out evil spirits, to heal people of various diseases and plagues, to make the lame walk, the deaf hear, and to raise the dead to life again. It takes extraordinary power. It takes divine power. That being the case, tell me, what ought we to think about the person wielding such power? Either he is God in the flesh, or he has at least been accredited by God to perform these acts. He is God's agent at the very least. In fact, the list of people performing miracles of this sort in Scripture is rather short. Moses, Elijah, Elisha, Jesus, and the apostles. That's it. And so the presence and abundance of Jesus' healing miracles ought to have been enough on their own to assure John that Jesus really was the one who was to come. But Jesus wasn't satisfied to let his healing ministries stand on their own. So he sent a message to John so that John could connect the dots between his healing miracles and a host of Old Testament messianic prophecies. Jesus' message, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me," is filled with allusions to the book of Isaiah. We already saw how the final beatitude was derived from Isaiah 8:14, but that's only the tip of the iceberg. Think back to our call to worship and our scripture reading for this morning. Those texts are both echoed in this message to John. You may recall how in Isaiah 35, verses 4 to 6, we are told to say to those who have an anxious heart, "Be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy." Do you hear the echoes? How about Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2? There we hear the Lord's anointed speaking, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and," as the Septuagint reading goes, "recovery of sight to the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God." John was using the Greek Bible in his day. So he had two echoes there: preaching good news to the poor and recovery of sight to the blind. Isaiah 29, verses 18 and 19 are also echoed here, as is Isaiah 26, verse 19. Isaiah 29, verses 18 and 19 say that in that day, the messianic day of the Lord, the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. How will the poor exult unless they've had the good news preached to them? All the echoes. And then Isaiah 26, verse 19 adds this to the picture: "Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy, for your dew is the dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead." Without exception, each of these texts was regarded as messianic. And as both a prophet and the son of a temple priest, these allusions would not have been lost on John. It's like when someone says to you, "Do or do not, there is no try." Everyone knows that's Yoda. That's Empire Strikes Back. Because we are soaked in popular culture. John was soaked in the scriptures. He heard an echo, and he knew where it came from. And so as this report comes back, the blind have sight, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. The good news is preached to the poor. He's hearing all these texts from Isaiah, these messianic texts. What's more, he is also hearing repeated notes of how this Messiah will come with God's vengeance. Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Jesus wanted John to hear these texts playing over and over in his head so that he would be sure that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus is doing all these things. And so that he would also be sure that just as the blind were receiving their sight, the lame were walking, lepers were being cleansed, the deaf were hearing, and the dead were being raised, the day of vengeance of our God would still arrive. Messiah would come with that as well. John just had to hold on. John, you were right. I will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. Just not yet. And maybe you're where John was today. Maybe you've been disillusioned that the Lord hasn't returned yet to enact vengeance on his enemies and yours. Maybe as the years roll by, you're beginning to doubt that Jesus is who he said he was. Maybe it's all legend. Maybe this whole Christianity thing is a sham. If that's you, consider these words from Eric Lichty. People in the skeptical age of New Testament times would have been no more likely to circulate and accept a legend that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God than our neighbors today would be likely to spread a report that the late President Dwight D. Eisenhower claimed to be God, said he had the power to forgive sins, and rose from the dead. Too many people who knew President Eisenhower are still around. With so many firsthand eyewitness testimonies to the contrary, the rumor or legend could never get off the ground. And here's the thing. Luke was written in that same time space. In fact, even less. Eisenhower is further away from us than the events of Luke's gospel were from his writing of the gospel. If this is legend, it couldn't get off the ground. Consider as well what the Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter 3, verses 3 to 10, particularly if all this time is causing you to doubt. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Well, scoffers, Peter says, will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. You Christians keep saying he's coming back. Where is he? Peter says they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Count on it. Yes, we are removed by Jesus, or we are removed from Jesus now by 2,000 years from when he walked the earth. But if a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day, that's just 2 days ago, as far as God is concerned. He's not slow. Ever take a couple of days off? He is not slow. He is patient. Patient with men and women that they might know that a day of vengeance is coming. And repent of their sins and turn to Christ as the Savior and find forgiveness and the hope of everlasting life. That day is coming when Jesus will return. You just need to wait. Not only is that day coming, but Jesus is the Messiah. If you doubt it, look again at his miracles. See the power of God on display as Jesus enables the blind to see, the lame to walk, and the dead are raised from the grave. Then, after seeing the power of God on display, notice how those same miracles fulfill Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. As Tabidi Anyabwile observes, Jesus doesn't rebuke John for his doubt. He assures John with evidence. And what Jesus did for John, he can do for you too. Back in 1883, a young preacher by the name of G. Campbell Morgan found himself attacked by doubts about the Bible. The writings of various scientists and agnostics disturbed him. Men like Charles Darwin, John Tyndall, Thomas Huxley, and Herbert Spencer. As he read their books and listened to debates, Morgan became more and more perplexed. What did he do? He canceled all preaching engagements, put all the books in a cupboard and locked the door, and went to the bookstore and bought a new Bible. He said to himself, "I am no longer sure that this is what my father claims it to be, the Word of God. But I am sure of this, that if it be the Word of God, and if I come to it with an unprejudiced and open mind, it will bring assurance to my soul of itself." The result? "That Bible found me," said Morgan. The new assurance he found in 1883 gave him the motivation for his preaching and teaching ministry at Westminster Chapel in London from 1904 to 1919, and then again from 1933 until his retirement in 1943. Morgan's example is a good one. If you have doubts, grab a fresh Bible and come to it with an unprejudiced and open mind. It will bring assurance to your soul that Jesus is the Messiah and that you need not look for another. Let's pray.